Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. That is a doctrine, that was a saying that was in Israel that was intended to imply that because my dad sinned, that I am going to be judged. And God is going to take that out on me because of the sins of my father. And certainly there is a Bible precept that says the sins of the fathers are visited to the third and fourth generation. Zachary, would you turn that blind for me, please? Brother Welly is either that or God shining on him, one of the two. And that is true. And we talked about that this morning. When you sin, it has consequences. David lied to Ahimelech, and as a result, 85 priests were killed. When you sin, there are consequences. But for you to sit here tonight and to say, Brother Warren, my dad doesn't come to church, and he's looking around. There must be a different Warren out there because my dad comes to church. And I have an excuse. God's just going to judge me for that, and so I might as well just give up because God is sovereign and he judges the father and the children and the children's children. You can't use that as an excuse. So let's look and see what Ezekiel says to the people in chapter 18. And we're going to skip around in this chapter. I'd encourage you to read the entire chapter because we've got a lot of territory to cover this evening. The Bible has a lot to say on this. Look at verse 5. If a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, hath not eaten upon the mountain, neither hath lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither hath defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath come near to a menstruous woman, hath not oppressed any, but has restored to the debtor his pledge, has spoiled none by violence, has given his bread to the hungry, hath covered the naked with a garment. He that hath not given forth upon usury, neither hath taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed true judgment between man and man, hath walked in my statutes, kept my judgments to deal truly, he is just, he shall surely live, saith the Lord. Sorry, Zenaida, I'm going to talk fast tonight. She's like, whatever. So what if you have a son and he's a knucklehead? Well, that's the next verse. If he beget a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, that doeth things the like to any one of these things, and that doeth not any of those duties, but hath eaten upon the mountains and defiled his neighbor's wife, has oppressed the poor and needy, has spoiled by violence, has not restored the pledge, that guy, verse 13, the last phrase, his blood shall be upon him. So kids, you can live like a knucklehead. Mrs. Bishop and I will be sad. And we'll probably cry over you. And the preacher will come visit you in jail when you go down that route. But that's not on me. That's on you. Do what is right. Do what is lawful. Do what is good. And you're going to be judged by God based on what you do, not on what somebody else does. So let's jump down to verse 14. If he beget a son that seeth all his father's sin, which he hath done and considereth, and doeth not such like. Verse 17 says, he shall surely live, the last phrase. Now his father, who is a knucklehead, verse 18, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, did that which is not good among his people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. So God says to the son, listen, you do what's right, and I'm going to take care of you. Your dad is going to pay for his sin. Hey, dad, you got a child that is living like a knucklehead? I'm going to deal with him, but you're going to be okay. Yet ye say, verse 19, why does not the son bear the iniquity of the father? And verse 20 has the answer to that. The first phrase, a soul that sinneth, it shall die. It shall die. Verse 21, but, I love this, God is gracious. In his sovereignty, he is a God of grace. But if the wicked will turn, that's repentance, from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. So you get a guy, and he's living a life of a fool, and all of a sudden, he is confronted by his sin, and he drops to his knees, and he seeks God's forgiveness, and he repents and turns from his wickedness, and God says, okay, I'm going to bless you now. And we would look at that and say, well, that's not right. He spent all these years living in foolish sin. He should have his... We are really good at thinking God should judge other people, and God just shouldn't judge us. God should judge that guy, but not this guy. God should judge her, but not me. God judges us individually. And so I'm here to tell you tonight, if you're living in wicked, sinful idolatry, God wants you to turn, and he wants to forgive you. In his sovereignty, you have a choice. You have choice. How does God feel about that? Look at verse 23. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should turn from his ways and live? Verse 24, but when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, say, well, I'm a good guy. But all of us, this is just really sad. I have a preacher friend. I talked to a preacher this week, and I didn't mention this other fellow by name, but he just said, hey, Brother Bishop, how you doing? And it was late, I was tired, and I just said, I'm living the dream. And he said, you look tired. And I said, I am tired. It's the end of the day. I've got 4 more hours to go, and I'm looking forward to this day being done. And I wanted to say, and you're annoying me. I wanted to say that, but I didn't. And he said, Brother Bishop, what can I pray with you about? I said, pray that I don't mess it up. He said, he's a younger guy than me. And he said, Brother Bishop, you get to be your age, you got it made. I said, you have no idea. I have a pastor friend 20 years ago, 30 years ago, that is at the age I am now. And he literally threw his life away. A preacher. So much so that when he died, his kid didn't even have a funeral for him. They were so embarrassed at their father's lifestyle. Served in the ministry, preached at church, stood behind a pulpit. I'm talking big church. I'm talking church 600, 800. I mean, he's the guy that stood up in front of everybody, traveled the world, was a speaker, spoke at other churches, absolutely wrecked his life and testimony at the end of his life. I want to finish well. Brother Nathan brought a great message on Saturday morning about finishing well. I was really challenged by that, and I know I said that to you in person. I'll say it publicly. You missed Saturday morning soul winning a message. You should go to Brother Magdalis and say, what did you preach about yesterday morning? Because that was a blessing to the preacher, and it absolutely was. I want to finish well. I want to finish well. But if I don't, God is going to deal with me. That's what the verse says. When a righteous man turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done, he shall die. Say, well, he lived 65 years, a dedicated servant to the Lord. But yet, year 66, he decided, you know what? I am tired of living the Christian life. I am so done, I'm going to walk away from it. God said, I'm going to judge you. Do what is lawful and right. Verse 30, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Pretty easy, right? God's sovereignty does not negate man's responsibility. God in his sovereignty has given us the ability to decide what we're going to do, what decisions we're going to make. And God honors those choices. God in his sovereignty is going to honor your choice. You want to be a knucklehead? God will honor that. And you want to do that which is lawful and right? God will honor that. You want to accept the gift of God, which is eternal life, God will honor that. If you want to choose to reject Christ, God in His sovereignty is going to honor that. God's sovereignty does not erase, negate, absolve you of responsibility. So here are the extremes. On the one extreme, you have those that emphasize God's sovereignty and ignore man's responsibility. Well, that's wrong. Then you have those that only focus on man's responsibility and ignore God's sovereignty, and that is wrong. It was probably 30 years ago, maybe 28 years ago. We were at an event. It was a homeschool event. Kids were being tested, and I had dropped them off, and as a result, we had every parent had to, I don't remember, maybe volunteer to do something for an hour of that. It might be serve snacks or might be set up tables. So I was there for my hour, and one of the ladies, homeschool ladies, moms that was there, found out that I was a pastor. And she said, "You're a pastor." I said, yes, I am." And she said, "What kind of church?" I said, "A Baptist church." And she said, "Are you a Calvinist or an Arminian?" And I said, "I'm neither one." And she went, whoa. What are those? Calvinism and Arminianism, they're two extremes. One ignores part of it, one ignores the other. They're both extremes. Well, what am I? What should you? You should be a Bible believer. Embrace God's sovereignty. Recognize your responsibility. God's sovereignty gives you responsibility. What does the Bible say about man's responsibility? Well, we just looked in Ezekiel chapter 18 that God hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And He admonishes us to turn and live. What is that? Man's responsibility. You are responsible. Why die? Again, God says, "I have no pleasure. Turn yourselves and live ye." What is that? That is my responsibility, to turn and to live. Keep your finger here in Ezekiel 18. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 23. There's no greater compliment to the preacher than what Brother Monday shared this evening, to say that, "Hey, I struggled with understanding something in God's Word, and the preacher helped me to understand." That is like the gold standard. Wow. That is really humbling. I want you to be able to understand this tonight, to walk out of the room. I don't want you to walk out of the room tonight and say, "I don't know what the old man was saying tonight, but he was passionate about it." When we leave tonight, I want you to be able to say, I get it. Matthew chapter 23, verse 30. Let's go back to 34. "Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation." Verse 37. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often," and we're talking about God's sovereignty, "how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings." God is sovereign, right? And God is saying, "How often I desired to pull you in and to shield you and to shepherd you and protect you." But what's the next phrase? Read it with me. "But ye would not." What is that? Man's responsibility. God is sovereign. He is able. But He gives you a choice. He is not going to negate your choice. Man's problem is that we willfully choose to reject God. Ye would not. Man's problem is that according to this verse, we willfully choose to reject God. We willfully choose. What did they do? They killed, they stoned, they gathered, and they would not. We talked about Pharaoh. Did God give Pharaoh opportunities to repent? He absolutely did. God is sovereign. He gave Pharaoh a choice. And Pharaoh chose to reject God. And we talked about God hardening Pharaoh's heart. Did God do that? Yes, he did. Did Pharaoh harden his own heart? Yes, he did. God's sovereignty reached out to him. Man's responsibility, and Pharaoh chose. The problem is a stubborn refusal, rebellion, rejection. It's called responsibility. Called responsibility. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 5. Gospel of John, chapter 5. Gospel of John, chapter 5. He's talking to these folks, saying, you folks aren't on your way to heaven. Verse 39. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they, Scriptures, which testify of me. But they had a problem. Verse 40, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. God's given to them eternal life, but also God had given them a choice to choose or reject. And they've chosen to reject. Pretty clear from John chapter 40. From the beginning of Scripture, man had a choice. Adam and Eve in the garden, they had a choice. Cain and Abel, after the garden, they had a choice. Cain chose that which was true and right according to God's word, and Cain chose to kill his brother. I will not have God telling me what to do or how to worship. I'm going to do what I want when I want. So from the beginning, Genesis, Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, to the very end, Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, the very end of the Bible say, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Come. What is that? God's sovereignty. God says, come. And let him that heareth come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And I love the kids' song. Whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, oh, surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever meaneth me. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I can figure out whosoever meaneth me. The Calvinist says, whosoever doesn't mean you, it means only those that God chose. We'll show you that in just a second. Hopefully put that to rest for the last time. New Orleans, as it's been in the news, 10 inmates were seen running on camera, running out of the front of the jail. Tunneled through a wall, cut through the bars, and walked out the jail. The captain in charge of this particular jail is seen. I had to go see it for myself. They said, man, you got to check out this gal. She's given a news conference. So here she is, this deputy lady, and she's got her badge on, and she's got her shoulder patches on. If you haven't seen the picture, you ought to look. Just Google New Orleans, a lady captain with the bizarre glasses. And she's got something that looks like it came out of a comic book. And she's given a nationwide news conference about how inmates escaped. All I got to do is take one look at her and say, you were in charge with those goofy glasses? Just doesn't breed confidence. Anyways, they're in there. How do you cut through bars and nobody figures it out? But they did. And how do you get 10 guys running out the front door? I just tell you, I've been to jail as a visitor. And it's a really tough place to get out of. And you got to walk through like 10 doors to get out. And every way along, I was making a visit on one of all y'all that sat here in this room that said, I'm not going to have God's rule and reign over my life. But God has a judge that sends them to jail. I'm just telling you, God's got bigger people than you. That's man's responsibility. They chose, and I choose to go minister to them. So I went up to the jail, And you go through one door, two doors, three doors, go in, had my visit, I get done, and it's time to go. I got things to do, but you don't get out of there quick. And so there's this guy, he's behind this shaded glass, and he's got, I can see him, and he's got things going on in there, and I'm thinking he doesn't see me. So I push the button. Man, he went ballistic.
Push that button for it. You don't think I can't see you? You think you're the only person in the world? There are other people in the jail. I want to get out of here. You just sent out of my church. And I go, whoa, you had way too much caffeine, fella.
I said, sir, very, very sorry. Man, didn't mean to offend you. I'm just telling you, I couldn't get out of there unless I'm pushing a button. But here 10 inmates walk out of the front of the jail. Where was the gal that was supposed... There was a gal in charge of the cell block that was supposed to be watching them. Where was she? It was time for lunch, so she went. Who's in charge of the cell block? No, nobody was at that moment. She's, listen, it's time to eat. I'm just time to eat. Oh, so who's at fault? Oh, man, that probably everybody's at fault. Probably the gal with the funky green glasses and the gal that left went to eat because it was dinner time and she left her cell block unguarded. And the 10 inmates that channeled through. And probably a lot of other things will fall out. They all made choices. And they will all be held responsible. They're being caught one by one. They'll be taken back in. They'll be and listen, you're not going to be able to say, so tell me why you escaped. Well, the lady was out to lunch. She kind of left us on our own. And, really? I don't think anybody's going to say that. It'd be really neat to see the judge's reply. I'm sure the judge would go like, because judges have a tendency to wear their glasses on the end of their nose like this. The judge is going to go, look over the top of their glasses like, really? That might have worked when you were in kindergarten, but that is not working in the courtroom. I doubted that anybody's going to say that. The Bible clearly speaks of man's responsibility. The Bible clearly speaks of man's rebellion. I'm going to read some verses very quickly. You can mark down the references if you want to look them up later. But just for the sake of time this evening, I'm going to go through these pretty quick. 2 Chronicles Chapter 36, verse 15. The Lord God of their fathers sent to them his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people in his sovereignty. He had compassion and on his dwelling place, but they mocked the messengers of God and despised his word and misused his prophet until God's sovereignty, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. What is that? God's sovereignty, man's responsibility. God lets you go until God says, you know, I'm done. I'm just so done. Psalm chapter 81, verse 11. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. And again, those that only look at the sovereignty of God would have a problem with that verse because they would say, well, God should force you to do what's right. Well, God gives you a choice, and he's going to honor your choice. Proverbs chapter 1. We memorize this, I don't know, 18 years ago, because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall ye call upon me, but I will not answer. God's sovereignty gives you a choice. But there will come a time when God will say, I'm not calling anymore, and I'm done. That's Proverbs chapter 1. They would none of my counsel, they despised all of my proof, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and they shall be filled with their own devices. So we see the wisdom in Proverbs, we see it mentioned in Chronicles, we see the psalmist mentioned it, Isaiah mentions it. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 20. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 12. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause a weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. God's sovereignty in offering, man's responsibility in rejecting. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest ye shall be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. and ye would not. God's sovereignty in giving that choice, man's responsibility in rejecting. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 12. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and ye shall all bow down to the slaughter. Because when I called, ye did not answer. When I spake, ye did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 3. Yet ye have chosen, yet they have chosen their own ways. Their soul delighteth in their abominations. I also will choose their delusions. We're not going to look again for time this evening. We could. Jeremiah 14 times. That was Isaiah. Jeremiah 14 times mentioned that God called, God reached out, but man and his rebellion and his rebellious heart just refused. 1 Samuel mentions it. Nehemiah mentions that rebellion four different times. Zechariah mentions it in Zechariah chapter 1, verse 4, and verse 13, verse 10. Romans mentions it in Romans chapter 10, verse 21. 1 Timothy mentions it. You have a responsibility to respond when God calls. So the guys in jail, they escape. They busted doors, cut bars, put a hole behind the toilet, and the sheriff said, you know what? It's because it's a sheriff race, it's an election year, and my opposition is trying to get me out of office. There's no way they were able to do this without help from the outside. And I think that my opposition has somehow snooked, Michaela's saying, I'm graduating this year. I don't think those words are in the dictionary. You got them in on purpose with malice aforethought. Is that better? To try to make me look bad in an election year. Listen, you look bad in an election year when people escape. And if you've got people on your staff that are bringing in saws and torches and cutting stuff, then you better be figuring that out and firing those guys. You ought to be. What were the guys incarcerated for? For murder, for mayhem, for sin, for rebellion. It's easy, again, for us to say, well, that they've got serious rebellion, but I've just got minor rebellion. Turn with me to, let's go to the 1 Timothy passage. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, let's start at verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Will you read verse 4 with me? Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? For those that only want to focus on God's sovereignty and say God is in control of all and God chooses who goes to heaven and God chooses who goes to hell, there is no responsibility of man. You don't have any choice. You don't have any say-so. They just ignore verse 4. Who will have how many? All men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. Now, this is a passage that caused people that talk about, well, I believe in God's sovereignty and I acknowledge man's responsibility, but what do you do with Matthew chapter 22? That's a good question. Verse 11. Matthew chapter 22, verse 11. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto them, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to his servant, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Read verse 14 with me. For many are called, but few are chosen. Uh-oh. There God chose, right? Well, stay with me. Look at chapter, I'm going to mark this one. I'm definitely coming back here. Look at chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, verse 16. Look at verse 15. It is not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own. Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. That's what it says. Look with me to verse 5. Matthew chapter 22, verse 5. Let's start at verse 1. Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parable, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways. There you have man's responsibility. Keep your finger here and go with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And you say, preacher, I'm running out of fingers. You got me in the Old Testament. You got me in Matthew. John chapter 12, verse 31. John chapter 12, verse 31, now the judgment of this world, now shall the prince of this world be cast out, and I, if I be lift up from the earth, was Jesus lifted up on the cross? Did he die on Calvary's cross? Was he placed in the grave? Yes, he was. If I be lifted up, and he was, what does it say? Will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. No one is ever going to complain that they were not called. So I need some helpers tonight. Daniel's pastor, every once in a while, he says, what kind of preacher is your dad? And Daniel says weird. Mrs. Bishop says bipolar. And last week when I had Theo up here on the Lord's Supper table, she'd taken a picture. During church, she had her phone out and sending it to Daniel. Say, show this to your pastor and he'll understand that your dad is weird. Your dad is, he just is. So, come up here. What's your name? Do you have a name?
Yes.
Tell me your name.
Xavier.
Xavier, okay. And Xavier, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
Oh, praise the Lord. Well, we got to put a garment on you. Put the garment on. Hey, put it on there. Put it on. There you go. Yeah, man, you look good. Stand right over there by the piano. There you go. You got your office squared away. That's saying is God. Oh, this looks like a, whoa, this looks like a big person. Come on. It's okay. Mrs. Bishop has her camera away. Accept Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes, sir.
Oh, right. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. Hey, get to God as eternal life. God calls on me. God call on you, and you are accepting him. We've got to put you on a wedding garment and go take your place in line. What do we got here? Yeah. Woo. Small, man. That doesn't look like a small. Theo Monday, come up here. What's your name? Come on, Theo. Come on. No, come on. What's your name?
Theo Monday.
Theo Monday. Lord Jesus Christ calls you to salvation. You need a wedding garment.
I'm good.
What do you mean you're good?
I've got a good wedding garment here.
It doesn't even have a brand. Oh, it sure does. Nautica. Modern fit. Right? You sure? Okay, take your place in line. Go on. Whatever. To each his own. Another big one. Yeah, come on. Yeah, come on. Yeah. Come on. Yeah, you. Yeah, come on. We're just calling everybody, right? Probably should call a girl, right? Well, man, you can't get that one, huh? You got to find one yourself. Hey, what's your name?
Joseph.
You accept Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yeah.
Wow, wonderful. That's exciting. You need a wedding garment. That's too small. You're going to rip it. Miss Bishop's going to be mad at me. All right, turn around. Let's get you fitted up. Put your arm in. Yep, there you go. Hey, put your other arm in. There you go. All right. You look good. Go stand next to that other weird guy over there. Okay, are you got it? God's calling all men. Come down to the end of the age. Judgment seat of Christ, great white throne judgment. You're going to stand at one of the two. And we're going to choose from these folks who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. God's going to choose. Now, who do you think God is going to choose? You? Go to heaven. You got a wedding garment? Go to heaven. You got a wedding garment? You go to heaven. And you? Where's your wedding garment? Were you not offered one? And he's speechless because there's nothing to say. Meg Dallas, men. Come on. Come on. Drag this guy out and throw him in outer darkness. Where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Right, okay, you guys can go sit up. And that's how God's going to choose. Is God going to choose? God is absolutely going to choose. If you do not have a wedding garment, He is not going to choose you. It does not mean that God chose some people to heaven and chose some people to hell. It means that God in His sovereignty has given you responsibility and He is going to honor your choice. Again, you're holding your finger in Matthew. Many are called, few are chosen. Everybody's called. 1 Timothy, I will call all men, and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I will call all men unto myself. And what did Timothy say? Let me look at it again because I really like that one. Second. Who will have all men to be saved? God wants everybody to be saved. So he calls them. Hey, Theo, you want to be saved? No, I'm good. I got a Nautica. That is not going to bode well. He does not have a wedding garment. Again, look at verse 11. You're in Matthew chapter 22. You held your finger there. And when the king came in to see all the guests, he saw there a man, Theo is representing that man, which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? He's speechless. There's no excuse. Was he offered one? He was. Did he refuse it? He did. And as a result, then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Chosen ones that have received salvation, they put on the wedding garment. Have you received Christ? Do you bow your heads and close your eyes? God's sovereignty will never negate your responsibility. And you're here tonight, you've been offered a wedding garment. Time and time again, you've been offered a wedding garment. And time again, you said, I'll keep my Nautica. And someday, Christ is going to come back. And you're going to stand there. Those who have received Christ are going to be donned, dressed in the wedding garments, covered by the righteousness of Christ. And you, because you have rejected Christ, you will be there without a wedding garment. And this will be your passage of Scripture. Bound hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You're here tonight and say, "Preacher, I am not a Christian. I've never accepted Christ." That's the clearest understanding I've ever had of my inability to atone, cover, to appear right before God without the righteousness of Christ to cover me. And tonight, I know I'm not saved. I know I need to be saved. Preacher, pray for me. Slip your hand up. Hold it up. Question number next. Are you burdened for somebody? They need to have the wedding garment. Don't let them distract you from their need. Let's stand to our feet with our head bowed and eyes closed. The piano's playing. The altar is open. You obey. You want to pray for somebody? You can. And you should. And you should.